But you're driving in your car and you bought it less than a year ago. You borrowed some money and you borrowed it for 5 years, as most people do, and you got it and you're rolling and it still smells good inside. In fact, it still smells pretty new. It's about a year old, but you're riding it. You only got 4 years left to go, and you pull up there at Hall of Fame and duck, and you look in the rearview mirror because you're at the red light, and this car behind you does not look like it's going to stop, and it doesn't, and it hits you. And by the grace of God, you're not even hurt. You jerk forward, of course, and you get out, and you notice that there's smoke beginning to come up, and your car catches on fire. And you go, my car? You're okay. The guy gets out. He's okay. Front of his car is all messed up, and he gets out and says, look, it's my fault. I mean, I was looking down. I wasn't watching, and by the time I looked up, I couldn't stop. But I got insurance. Don't worry. I've got insurance. Oh, you butter of it. Yeah, I do. I do. Don't worry. Okay. And so the guy comes out, he says, yes, you know, don't worry about it. Look, let me check. We checked your car. It's totaled. I mean, I hate to say that to you. Totaled? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. But listen, it was in great condition. We looked inside it. We know you kept it spotless. And I'm going to write you the check for, right now, I'm going to write a check for $8,800 for you right here. And you go, $8,800? I still owe almost $10,000. Yeah, but it's not worth but $8,800. What do you mean it's not worth it? But listen, look, here's the blue book. I'm giving you the best deal I can find. On that year car, it's worth this much money. I'm sorry. And you got a car that you don't have anymore and a payment that you do have and is no fault of your own. And the truth is that cars depreciate faster than you can pay them off. And when you go borrow money for a car and you say, well, I got 5 years to pay this thing off, it is depreciating faster than you can pay it off, and most of the time, you owe more on your car than it's worth. And you just better hope that somebody doesn't run into you, even if it's not your fault, that this kind of thing could happen. The problem is cars depreciate faster than we can pay them off. And this morning, we want to take a look at buying a car and how to do it. And at the very end of the study last week, we talked about the whole idea of borrowing and whether you should borrow or not. And we brought up the real issue. Is it wrong to borrow? And the answer is no. No, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin to borrow, but it does say it's a sin if you borrow and don't pay it back. And we looked at some principles and we see that. And we're going to look at some very practical things. And what I want to do, and I want you to think about this, we're going to talk about buying the car. If you got questions, comments, anything, let me know. We're going to talk about that. And then in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about buying a house. And just some basic principles that some people, listen, if you don't know these things, you know, unless somebody sits down and says, look, do you know you can do this? And do you know how this works? You may never know. And we talk about credit cards and how to deal with those things. Because it's okay to use a credit card. It's okay to use it. It's just how do you use it is the key. And what about student loans? And what about all those kind of things? We're going to talk about it. Let's look at what we've seen so far. Let me just give you the big outline for our study. I want to just touch on this very quickly. Remember what we did? We started off by just what is finances? What are we talking about? We took to talk about stewardship, and the biblical meaning is that it is basically we've been entrusted with basically possessions and things, and we're to use them wisely. Our personal response is that everything that we have comes from God, and it's really His, and He's just loaning it to us, and we're to use it wisely for His glory. We talked about biblical giving and the misconceptions and the biblical aspects of giving, and then we talked about finances and some of the mistakes that people make and some of the problems dealing with finances in their lives. And then we start on a budget, and we talked about why make a budget long-term and short-term, and then we talked about spending and saving and all of those kind of things. And then we're on page two, so we're rolling pretty good. We talked about buying and borrowing wisely. We talked about principles in buying and borrowing, is it right or wrong? And now we're looking at specific items like a car, home, school loans, credit cards. And then we'll get into this whole idea of marriage and family and the dangers and all that kind of stuff and what happens. Church finances, we're going to mention that a little bit. And then finally, we put it all together by dealing with the attitude, because that's the most important thing. The bottom line is our attitude about riches and rich things and materialism and the whole idea of contentment. And we're going to see all of those things. Now, I have this handout that I had last week. I mean, this overhead that I had last week. And we talked about buying and borrowing. And we talked about some wise principles in buying. And I just want to go back over that just very quickly. And here's what we said. Just think about this, because we buy stuff all the time. And here's some just wise principles we talked about. Don't buy unless it's in your budget. You should have a budget. You should know what money is allocated for what things. And when you get ready to buy, the things you buy should be budgeted items. If not, you can probably have to borrow to get it. So buy when it's in your budget. Never buy on the spur of the moment. Never be pressured to buy, because you know I was wrong on that figure. Gene told me those pots and pans I told you about that we almost bought right before we had the baby, and I thought they were $200 or $300. How much were they? Right at $1,000 for pots and pans. I just, my mind eliminated all that. See, I can't remember any of that. I thought it was $200 or $300, but Gene said, "Boy, you messed up. It was $1,000 we were thinking about spending on those pots and pans." I went, whew, you know, wow. Buy quality. When you buy stuff that's good, it'll last a lot longer. It really will. And never buy if you don't have the money. I mean, I think that's it sounds stupid to say that, but as we said earlier, people live on 110% of their income. Most people in America spend 10% more every month than they actually take in. So people are borrowing all the time. They're buying things when they don't have the money. We do that all the time. Now, we talked about borrowing, and we basically said it's not a sin to borrow. But there's some principles and some reasons maybe why. If you're careful, be careful. Don't borrow unless you just have to. And we're going to talk about some reasons not to borrow. And you remember what we talked about? We said you're going to pay more for the item. When you borrow, it costs you more. We talked about that machine last time, that Bowflex thing or some workout thing, and they said it's $920, but then you could pay monthly only 29 payments of, and if you figure it up, you pay between $200 and $300 more for the item just to pay payments on it. And that happens on everything that you borrow. Second is, you're a slave to the lender. You got to pay it back. The thing comes in the mail. It says, send your payment in. And you can't say, I wish I could take this $72 and send it somewhere. I'd like to spend it on something else, but you can't, because you're obligated. You're a slave to the lender, as it says. Third, it's a sin if it's not repaid. And you're in Psalm 37. Look at Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borrows and does not pay back. Now, we talked about this. We live in a society today that historically there have been businesses, companies get into financial trouble and in a sense go bankrupt. But it was not very common for individuals and households to go bankrupt. And now it is unbelievable number of people every year, normal household families, filing for bankruptcy because they can't pay their credit card bills, they can't pay their house payment, they can't pay their car bills, they can't pay these things. And it's a problem there. The fourth thing of reason not to borrow is you presume in the future, you're saying that, well, I'm presuming that I'm going to have money that I don't have right now. Somehow I'm going to get it. You deny the opportunity for God to provide. Sometimes we borrow when God was going to give it to us another way. You'd have to wait a little longer sometimes, and you have to trust Him. Sometimes that kind of thing happens. And last but not least, it does limit the future. When you have a third of your income tied up in debt, there are a lot of things you cannot do that you'd like to do. I told you the story of a family that's been about 6 years ago, but they had 17 or 18 different credit cards, JCPenney's, Discover, Mervyn's, everything in the world you could name that they had to pay every month, and it was almost half of their monthly income that they got went to retire, just those debts. We're not talking about electric, gas, telephone, their rent, or anything. They were in trouble. They couldn't pay it. I mean, that's why they came to me, and we sat down, we had to call their creditors and said, they can't send in $27. They're going to send in $5 because they cannot pay these bills. And sometimes it really limits what you can do. Now, that's what we talked about. And I think a key verse that's going to come in when we think about buying for a car, borrowing for a car, for a house, and those kind of things. Be careful. Let me say a statement that Larry Burkett says all the time. If you borrow, you must have a guaranteed way to repay it. Guaranteed. That means whatever you borrow for, it's got to be worth what you owe. So that if worse comes to worse, you sell the item and pay the debt. Or that you've got to have enough possessions or enough money somewhere that if you have to pay your debt, you can. You've got to have a guaranteed way to repay it. That's the key. So we want to see how all that fits together. Let me remind you of something. We talked about it about 6 lessons ago in this study. And we talked about, Ron Blue said that there are 3 common financial mistakes that people make. Number one, it is a consumptive lifestyle. They just got to have more and more and more. And we'll deal with that when we get to attitude and contentment. The idea is we live in a society that says you ought to have everything you want. I mean, you should. You can have everything you want. Why not have it? I mean, even if you borrow for it, go get it because you deserve it. That's a consumptive lifestyle, and that's the way we live. Second is that we have no budget. That was his second big mistake. If people don't make a budget, they don't have control of their finances. They don't know what's coming in. They don't know what's going out. And the third thing, he says one of the biggest financial mistakes is the buying and selling of automobiles. Because it's a major purchase, and most people do it unwisely. And we want to look at that. Now, let me just say this. If you borrow money, and probably many of you and many of us have borrowed money, there are three ways we can repay borrowed money. Number one, we have to have income earned from sources other than what you borrowed for. You've got to have that money so that you can repay it. Number two, you've either got to sell the borrowed item and repay it. Or number three, you've got to liquidate some other assets to pay it. That's the only three ways. So when you borrow, you've got to pay back either by other money that you have or by selling the item that you borrowed. The problem with a car, and I love cars, they're great, but the problem with a car is very quickly they're not worth what you owe on them. And so oftentimes you can't sell the car to get, you know, if you have to give it up, it's not worth what you owe. Today, cars, I can remember when I was at Mississippi State in 1978, I'd never had a new car in my life, never in my whole life, and I wanted to go buy a new car, and I think, you know, I said, I want to buy a new car. And so I got to this guy who was a good friend of mine, he owned a dealership, and he said, what kind you want, man? And I got a 1978 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme with a slide back roof and everything. It was great. It was a great thing. And you know what the cost of that thing was? And I had all the gadgets on it. $7,800. Brand new Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. I kept it for, I forgot how many years. Was it 13? Not 13 years. I might have kept it for 13 years. I did. Every year I noticed that the exact same car, other than mine, if you bought a 1979 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, it wasn't $7,800. It was right at $9,000. And the next year, if you bought another Cutlass Supreme, it was $10,000. And every year, the cost of the Cutlass Supreme went up about $1,000. Nowadays, you get ready to go buy a car, and I'm talking about a car that you say, I want a good car, I want a car that's going to last, I want a nice car, I want a car for my family, I want four doors, I want all the good stuff. You're going to pay $18,000 to $20,000 to $25,000. 30, 40 years ago, that was the cost of a home. And now we're paying, you know. And so when you get ready to go get a car, we're not talking about $5,000 or $6,000, which still is a lot of money. We're talking $15,000 to $20,000 to $25,000. You got car payments on those things if you borrow money. So how do we get a car? How are we going to do it? Well, let me just say this. When we come to a car, I want to show you a way that you don't have to borrow if you're willing to wait. Because here's the problem. People want the car and they want the car right now and they're not willing to wait. But if you're willing to wait, you can get a car without borrowing for it. And we'll talk about it. Let me just say this again. Realize when we borrow, it costs us more. We're obligated to repay. And we must have a guaranteed way to repay. That's what we're talking about biblical now. I mean, there are a lot of people who borrow money and they don't have a guaranteed way to repay it. And sometimes the people who are doing the banking and loaning the money, they say, fill this thing out, and they write down things that aren't necessarily right. Because if some people knew that these people didn't have any way to repay, they wouldn't loan them the money. Because they want their money back. Now let's think about a car for just a second. And we're going to use a low figure. You find this car you want and you want to borrow $10,000. And so you borrow $10,000 and you go and you say, I'd like to borrow $10,000. You go to the bank and you get friends at the bank and you say, I'd like to borrow $10,000. And they say, well, you want the five-year note like always, don't you? Everybody gets a five-year note. Of course, now some are getting 6 years notes. Did you know when the first time I ever bought a car, you know what the note was? They would not loan you any money past 3 years at all. Because they said, why would I loan you money past 3 years? Because the car is going to be worthless in 3 years. And you're still owing it. Now they're 5 and 6 year notes. Of course, cars are a lot better now. They really are. Yeah. They're 7 years. 7 years. 7 years. Wow. Well, let's go 5 years. And about 12%, borrowing $10,000. You know what your payment is? And you know what the question is? People don't ask, can I borrow $10,000? Their question is, what's the payment going to be? I want to see if I can make the payment. $224 a month, if you just do that. I just round figures. $222, $224, round figures. Remember, some people think the key is just being able to make the payment, not necessarily dealing with borrowing $10,000. When they make their payment at the end of 5 years, how much did they pay for the car? They borrowed $10,000. What did they pay? Bill's already figured it in his brain, so he's a math guy. He's already got the thing clear. He's clicked out. About $13,346.40, approximately. $3,346 more because you borrowed and you had to pay those payments. He said, but I wanted the car right then. Well, the car doesn't cost you $10,000. The car cost you right at $13,400. So the first truth that whenever you borrow, it costs more. Second, realize that the moment you drive it off the lot, it depreciates immediately because it's a used car. And people don't always understand it. And that's, you know, and I love cars. But when you drive a new car and you drive it away and you had it, it is now no longer a new car. It is a used car. The value has depreciated greatly. In fact, in the first year of owning the car, I've seen different statistics, so I don't know which is exactly right, but for some, you can find that the first year of a new car, it depreciates approximately 40%. Some say 30%, some say 28%. That means if the car was worth $10,000, it's not worth $10,000, it's worth about $6,000 or $7,000 after it's 1 year old. You still owe $9,000 on it now, it's worth $7,000. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if the guy runs in the back of you, tears it up, and the guy writes you a check for $7,000, and you say, yeah, but I still owe $9,000. I could put this check in the bank. I still owe the bank $2,000 a month, and they're going to expect that same payment until that $2,000 is paid off. I don't even have a car. So it's going to cost you more. Second is you're obligated to repay, Psalm 37:21. And third, you must have a guaranteed way to repay it. I had a friend when I first came here. He was a great friend of mine. He had this Camaro, and he bought it, and it was within, he was married, and it was in the second year of their marriage, they realized they were going to have a baby. And he began to say to himself, you know, I mean, this Camaro doesn't even have a backseat thing where you can put that baby thing. We're going to have to get a different car. And so he said, I'll put a little ad in the paper. And he put the ad in the paper, but what he didn't realize is that his car, what he owed on it, was $2,000 more than what the going rate for that Camaro was. Within a year and a half, he already had a car that he was, as they say, upside down on. He already was. He ended up selling it, almost broke even, because he got somebody to pay more for it than what the normal value was. He got out of it, but he said, boy, I'm never going to do that again. And I said, you won't bet. Now, buying and borrowing an automobile, Psalm 37:21 says the wicked borrow and do not repay. Three ways to repay: income other than the borrowed item, the sale of the borrowed item, and liquidation of other assets. You got to be careful. You say sell of the borrowed item, the problem is the car may not be worth what you owe on it, so selling the borrowed item doesn't help you. I mean, it helps you a little bit, but it doesn't get you where you got to go. So what do we do, and what's going to happen? Well, let's just look at it this way. Let's say we borrowed the $10,000 for 5 years, 12%, $222 a month. It totals $13,346.40. Bottom line, that's what you pay back. And let me just be honest with you. Most people are willing to do that. They say, hey, I'm willing to pay $13,000 to borrow $10,000 to have the car I want. And a lot of people would do that. They'll say, I'll pay almost $3,400 more than I could have because I want the car right now. The only problems they run into is when something happens to the car through no fault of their own or through their own fault, and then they're in trouble. What can we do? What if we saved $222.44 a month for 5 years at 6%? You know how much money that is? $15,046.98. Same 5 years, same $222 a month, same everything, except one is you're paying them and paying their interest, the other you're paying you and getting your interest, and one you get $10,000, the other you got $15,046. Same thing. I want to show you the difference. If you borrow $10,000 for 5 years, you're negative $33,346.40. If you put in that same amount of money 5 years, you've actually put in $13,347, but you got $15,046.98, which is a plus $1,699.88, which is a difference of $5,106.38, which means if you save and buy for the car, you're going to have a $5,000 difference. It's going to cost you $5,000 more to borrow the money over 5 years than to save the money over 5 years and pay for it. So you can pay $5,000 less for a car or not. Now, let me tell you the secret, and here's the thing. And then we'll open up for questions, comments, anything you want to do. Here's the bottom line. Listen, the easiest thing in the world to do today is to go somewhere, buy the car you want, go to a bank and say, I'd like to borrow it, and you can buy it for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Cars last a long time. There's so many good cars nowadays. And you can do that, and you will pay money to them, and a lot of times they get bigger and bigger, and the payments are, they're long and they're hard, and by the time, and you got to be real careful, because very soon after you start doing that, your car is not worth what you owe on it. The second thing you can do is say, I want to get that car. Now, I'm going to have a car payment. I'm either going to have a car payment of $250 a month to something credit union, or I'm going to have $250 a month going into my saving account at 5 or 6% or 4% or whatever you can get. And I'm going to do that until I have saved the money to buy the car. And then when I go buy the car, I don't owe anything on it because I paid cash for it. Now, we could do it. It's going to for some of us, it takes a little while because your car may be played out before you can get the money saved up to buy another one. If that happens, buy the best car for the least money, borrow for the shortest period of time, and as soon as it's paid off. See, what a lot of people do, they have a car payment, $300 a month. They get the car paid off. What do? They say, I don't have a car payment. What I would do is keep paying that $300 a month to yourself until you get the money saved to buy the next one. And if you ever get ahead one time, from that point on, you're always having a car payment, but you're always paying yourself, and you're going to pay $5 to $10, the greater the cost of the car. There's a family in our church, I don't want to use their name because it would embarrass them, because they're really, really, really good with money, and if I use their name, it would embarrass them because they don't want, you know. But they buy a certain car, and the car is a fairly expensive car because it's one of those big old kind of cars. And they save. They pay cash every time, and we figured it out. One time we sat down, and because the car is about a $27,000 car if you just go buy it. Based on their savings, it took them about $22,000 to save $27,000. But if they had gone and borrowed $27,000, they would have paid back close to $38,000. So that car cost them $22,000 or $38,000. Same car, same payment. The difference is they pay themselves until they raise the money and go pay cash. Now, the smaller the car, the less difference it is. The bigger the car, the more difference it is. And they will look you in the face and say, I'm going to pay $22,000 for this car, not $38,000. Same car, same payment. So my counsel to all of us is that when you think about cars, the very best thing you can do, and you may take you a while in your life, you may be in a situation where your car's about to play out and you don't have any money saved, and when this thing plays out, you've got to go borrow, you know, but get to a point, hopefully, in your life where your cars are paid off. Drive them long enough that you keep putting your car payment into yourself until you can get that thing raised. And if you ever get ahead one time, then you're driving. You can drive a new car. You can drive a one-year-old car. You can do anything. Let me tell you what Larry Burkett says. He says the very best deal you can do is, if you're looking for a car, is to find a one-year-old car or a two-year-old car, because a lot of that depreciation, that 30 or 40%, is gone. Now, in our church, we have at least, and there may be more, two great car dealers, Devin Wilson and Jurgen Jensen. Now, I'm going to tell you, you need a car, you can call them and say, Jurgen, Devin, help me. And they will help you. And both of them are fired up believers, and their goal is to help people get into good cars. Let me tell you what Jurgen did for me, because I got a Camry. It's a one-year-old Camry. And the new Camrys were $26,000. This is a one-year-old Camry with, I think, 14,000 miles on it. I don't want to exaggerate. What did I have? Well, how many was on it? 14,000 miles on it? 16,000. Now, that's $8,000 difference. It was a 97. I bought it in 97. It's the first time since 1978 when I bought that brand new car with the window thing that goes back. It's the first time that I have bought a car in the same year of the car. But it was a used car. And Jurgen said, hey, JB, it's not a new car. It's a used car. You're saving about $8,000 just on the front end. So, now you want a new car? Just save up for it and go pay cash. You'll kill them, but they'll just walk in and they'll go, hey, here's cash. And they'll go, wow-wee. Because you can do it. Now, questions, comments? Anything? Yes. That's a good story. She's already answered the question. Just because some of the fixing, the car may not be worth very much, but it's probably much cheaper to drive that older car than it is to go borrow the money, higher insurance, higher tag, higher everything to get a car that. And let me just say this: we did a thing in seminary, and they said this. Let's do this. Let's pretend that you're gonna. And let me just show you this example. Let's pretend that every 3 years you're gonna get a new car. You're gonna go buy a new car. You're gonna finance it. You buy this car. You have new insurance. Your new tag. You drive it for 2 to 3 years, and then you go back and buy another new car, and you refinance it. You trade this one in, and all this. Or you get a car that's a used car, and you drive that baby as long as it'll go. And you put $100 a month for repairs. And you drive that thing 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, it plays out. You go buy you another used car with 25, 30, 40,000 miles on it. You drive it up to 150, 180,000 miles. Thing finally wears out. You go get you another one. $100 a month for repairs, you plan. Which one's cheaper? The older one is much cheaper. In fact, he said, in the course of a lifetime in which people buy so many certain cars, you will save almost $300,000 buying used cars, driving them to the maximum, and getting another one, instead of buying brand new cars and pay, and you know, every 2 or 3 years, financing everything and the tags. Listen, I got a 1991 Buick Century. The tag, $92. The tag on my Camry, $350. When I bought the car, you're going to say, well, JB, here's you know what the tag's going to be? I said, can you figure it out? $598. You buy an old one, it ain't going to be $598. So I fix them. I drove that Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme for 13 years, 138,000 miles. And let me tell you, in 1978, the cars they made in 1978 aren't near as good as the cars they're making right now. And if you say to yourself, I'm going to drive a car at least 150,000 miles, most of them will go that now. So my advice is drive them as long as you can. Even if you put $100 a month, according to the figures we did in seminary, if you put $100 a month into repairs, you're still ahead. So, yeah.
JB, when I was about 15, my dad told me that there are two things in life that will make you broke: cars and women.
Are you married? No, never mind. Okay.
If you're smart to buy, you get one of each and keep them both for a time.
Get one of each and do what? Keep them both what? To keep them both till they die. That's right. Okay, let me give that wisdom again from Dan Evans. Get married, keep her till she dies. Get a car, keep it till it dies. Is that the advice? And that's really true. How you feeling, honey? I'm sorry. I don't want anything new. I got the best model there is. Anything else? Okay, was the second bell ring? Or, oh, yeah, let's get this. Okay.
It's just very apparent how mobile our society is, and I think it's interesting that we're so willing to put money into very, very nice cars versus maybe the stability of a home and the family and how much interest. I mean, we're encouraging mobility versus security.
Right.
Let's make a home.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Let me say this. One of the books that I'm reading, I think it was the one, I can't remember which one it is. I'll think of it in just a second. But he said this, that he's writing this book, and he's talking about all these financial principles. He said he's a businessman. He's not a pastor or anything. He's a businessman. He said he walked out of his house one day and looked back, and he had a Porsche, and his wife had a 280Z or a 370, whatever these things are. Anyway, he saw it. And he said, you know what? I just started figuring up. And he said, I had $61,000 worth of cars. And he said, here I am. And he was being convicted of the fact that, you know, he should use his money wisely. And so he decided that he would sell both those cars. And he bought three other cars for those two cars, one for his wife, one for him. And he gave one to his mother. Now, he had been witnessing to his mother, he said, for years about Jesus Christ. And said she just never listened to him. He thinks back now that she just saw his materialism and didn't want to listen to him. But after he gave her the car, she went to church with him and trusted Christ as her Savior. Now his point was, look at what I got tied up in stupid cars when I could be doing something else. So there's just so much there. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having new cars, nothing wrong with having good cars. Just do wisely with what you do. And my advice always, if you can, save on the front end and pay cash. It does you two things. Number one, you will not pay more for it. You'll pay less. And number two, if something happens to it, you don't have to worry about this thing depreciating faster than what you owe because you don't owe anything on it. And it'll save you that way. Any other questions, comments? Yeah.
On this guarantee of payback, we can't always depend on the salary we're making.
Exactly. It's almost saying, and she is exactly right. You can't always say, well, hey, I've got a salary. You may not have your job. You never know what's going to happen. What happened to the, what is that? Not over, was it over? What place just went out? Yeah. You think, what happened? It's, well, I got to have another job. The guaranteed way of repaying means that if I have to turn around and sell this, and this, so I can come up with the money to pay what I owe. I got to be able to do that. And if I don't have assets enough to pay on what I'm borrowing, I can't borrow it. Shouldn't. Okay. One more. Go ahead. So they still have the cars,
yeah,
you're saying?
It doesn't seem to make any sense. She was talking about how mobile society is.
Yeah. And you know, those cars aren't great to sleep in. They're really not. And you just can't. It's just not near as good as a home. Although some of them cost more than a home. I had a friend who is in Stillwater that has a car that he and I, sometimes I'd be at the Best Western. Well, this was back about 8 years ago, and he'd meet at the Best Western, and we'd see each other, and we'd talk for a little bit. One day I walked out and I saw his car and I went, wow, wait, what kind of car is that? And I went, and he told me, I said, man. He said, you know how much it cost? I said, how much? He said, $101,000. I went, I'm not even going to get close to it. $101,000. Wow.
The best way to get out of that is you go to pay cash for your car and not pay all that interest on it. That's what I did with my new car.
Pay cash. It's, you did it.
And it knocked off some $2,000. He said, you don't pay cash? Mm-hmm. He wanted to take me to the bank. I don't want nothing to do with that bank right now.
I like banks. They got my money in them. But I got you. Right. Okay, so the advice. Save money on the front end. Pay cash for the car. If you can. And you may not be able to at this stage of your life. Work toward that goal so that you'll always pay less. You don't have to worry about its depreciating faster than what you owe on it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks Oh, Lord, help us in all of these different things, that we'd be wise stewards of what you've given us so we can use these things for your honor and your glory and be able to do the things you want us to do. Thank you for blessing us more than any other nation in the whole world and probably any other nation that's ever existed. You have given us so much. May we use it wisely. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.